NW248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. FlightAware.com reports that Southwest has already canceled more than 2,500 flights for today, leaving thousands of passengers like CEO Kilgallen stranded.
Obviously, they haven't fixed their systems in years, and their CEO and their chief operating officer, those people need to be fired.
She's having no luck in getting out of Portland, Maine. Southwest CEO Bob Jordan is one of those people she wants fired.
Our plan for the next few days is to fly a reduced schedule and reposition our people and planes, and we're making headway, and we're optimistic to be back on track before next week.
Western New York still under a state of emergency after nearly 5 feet of snow. At least 32 deaths are blamed on the storm. Here's CBS's Michael George.
Buffalo's roads are still clogged with snow and abandoned vehicles. A driving ban remains in effect.
Please, please, please do not drive in the city of Buffalo unless you are emergency personnel.
Icy roads still treacherous.
Temperatures are expected to hit the high 30s today and the 40s beyond that. That brings a new concern, flooding. The Supreme Court says Title 42 immigration restrictions should stay in place indefinitely. And for people seeking asylum in the U.S., there's little clarity on what's next. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
We don't know what the program will be. We don't know what the restrictions will be for those applying for asylum. Will they be still as restrictive as they were under COVID and under President Trump? Or will Biden's administration have the chance to put their own plan into action?
The court is expected to hear arguments in February. There's been a final flurry of activity from the House committee investigating the Capitol insurrection. More from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The latest batch of interview transcripts from this January 6th committee includes key witnesses inside the Trump cabinet. Former Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia told the panel he tried to get a meeting of the cabinet convened after January 6th, but that Trump opposed it, and it didn't happen. And Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told the panel he did have conversations about the 25th Amendment, that he didn't support it, though he acknowledged Googling it.
Just a few moments ago from Cape Canaveral.
3, 2, 1, engine full power.
A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket lit up the night sky for a spectacular launch. Company's 60th of the year, with most of them here in Florida. This was the 34th launch for the company's Starlink internet service in 2022. The company has one more launch planned for Saturday from California. Looking ahead to the day on Wall Street, S&P futures are up 3. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Introducing a six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code SKY. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code SKY. Or call 800-635-1825. That's MyPillow.com, promo code SKY.
Sail with American Queen Voyages, where history comes alive and discovery runs deep. Enriching adventures await in North America's mighty rivers, great lakes, oceans, and expeditions to the wilds of Alaska. Visit American Queen Voyages at aqvoyages.com, cruising North America now. Call 844-744-0794 or contact your travel professional. American Queen Voyages, discovery runs deep.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Olivia, from Washington. laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna, from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha, from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy today with a high of 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 32. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, highs level off around 39. 33 Friday under cloudy skies. 34 Saturday, chance for snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 22.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, Lamar Waldron. Also my writing partner back in the day. We wrote two books about this years ago that are still around, Legacy of Secrecy and Ultimate Sacrifice. Lamar, let's just, to start this hour, just quickly recap what you shared with us in the previous hour. Who killed Jack Kennedy, why, and how they were able to basically engineer a what has now been, what, a 60-year cover-up, more or less, maybe a little longer. I'm not good at math in my head. Oh, I forgot to put Lamar on the air. There you go. Lamar, you're back. You're on the air. I'm sorry. I didn't push the button. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I'd forgotten one of the most pervasive myths that you'll read in the mainstream press all the time, and that is, if there was any kind of plot to assassinate JFK, surely someone would have confessed by now, and no one has. Well, that's, of course, ridiculous. I've already mentioned Miltier, and of course, Carlos Marcello, who told two different people before the assassination he was going to do it, and then he gave that detailed confession to Jack Van Lanningham, and Marcello told Van Lanningham so much more about he secretly owned Jack Ruby's club, about his meeting with Oswald. Oswald's family, by the way, was very, very mobbed up. But in any event, and hang on one minute. My 68-year-old brain just had a pause.
So we're recapping who killed Kennedy and why and how.
Right. Well, one easy way to tell you who killed him is look who confessed. Marcello confessed. His closest mob associate, Santo Trafficante, confessed to his attorney shortly before Trafficante says. So again, we're talking credible confessions made to trusted associates, not for money, but with the expectation that it would never be revealed, and also the implication that you would die as Marcello eventually tried to kill Jack Van Lanningham. You know, so these aren't like Hunt, trying to get money out of Kevin Costner, so he cooks up this scheme, leaving out the mob ties of his best friend Manuel Artemi and his assistant Bernard Barker. So Marcello confessed. Trafficante confessed. The guy that they were using a lot is to kind of distract the CAA and even get some CAA stuff to use in the assassination. Johnny Roselli, he confessed shortly before his death, and I say death. Johnny Roselli, after testifying before Congress, was I think the first Senate witness ever murdered, and he was talk about gangland slang when you're murdered on a boat and your body's cut up and put in a 55-gallon oil drum. That's like not an accident.
And then found floating in the Atlantic, yeah.
Right. And so Roselli confessed. in the CIA. I've already mentioned Bernard Barker, who sort of confessed, but CIA officer David Morales, who was one of the top operations officials at the huge Miami CIA station, the CIA's support for anti-Castro operations and anti-Castro Cubans was so big, the largest CIA station outside of Washington, D.C.'s, the headquarters, wasn't in Russia or in Western Europe. It was in Miami, Florida. And David Morales ran the operations out of that place, and he confessed his role. He was best friends with Johnny Roselli. So, and there was another guy that worked for the mafia named John Martino. He confessed, and he even talked to the FBI about knowing about JFK's top secret coup plan. So, boy, the FBI couldn't touch him because he was talking about all sorts of secret stuff. So again, yeah, there have been confessions. The mainstream media likes to ignore them, and it pretty much tells you who did it. It was, you know, Marcello Trafficante, Godfathers, using Mafia Don, Johnny Roselli, and their associates in the CIA, specifically David Morales, who confessed, Bernard Barker, who sort of confessed, and another guy who's important named David Ferry, the Joe Pesci character from Oliver Stone's JFK movie. David Ferry was a former pilot for Eastern Airlines, much taller than Joe Pesci, and in 63 he had a certain kind of charisma, apparently, but he also was a CIA agent that a later CIA director was just livid about, which we know from that CIA director's executive assistant. So yeah, those guys did. Oh, and Marcello's private detective that David Ferry also worked with, a guy by the name of Guy Bannister. And Guy Bannister was the former FBI chief of Chicago, but he was drinking, and his anti-communist activities weren't what they were in the McCarthy-Nixon era. And so, yeah, those and Guy Bannister, like Marcello and like Joseph Miltier, was a white supremacist. So, yeah, so those are the guys. I just named the guys, and most of them, like I say, confessed, and there's other amazing documentation for the ones that didn't confess.
Right, and just to recap, there were several things that kind of converged that created this perfect storm. You had Richard Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover both mobbed up. J. Edgar Hoover was being blackmailed by the mob over his relationship with Clyde Tolson, among other things. And Nixon was taking aid from the mob. The mob helped get him elected. He was, you know, buddies with the mob.
So we're talking $1 million bribe from the mafia to Nixon for the 1960 election alone.
Right, when he was vice president of the United States.
So and running against John F. Kennedy.
Right, so you had the mafia operating with impunity. They had basically immunity in the United States. The Eisenhower Nixon administration never prosecuted them seriously. So then Jack Kennedy, in his congression, when he was in the Senate, he starts going after the mafia with his brother Bobby, who is on this committee, and starts really pissing off the mafia. And then when he becomes president, we go from a couple of dozen prosecutions of organized crime a year nationally at the federal level to over 600 or 700 of them in the first 2 years.
Oh, and let's throw this in. Carlos Marcello and Johnny Roselli were not even citizens. Around the time of the Bay of Pigs, Robert Kennedy had Carlos, and Marcello had from Tunisia, of Sicilian parents. Marcello had a phony Guatemalan birth certificate, so Bobby Kennedy basically had him picked up and had this mafia godfather, America's most powerful mafia godfather, deported to Guatemala, and then Guatemala gets pressure, and they kick him out, and so you've got this godfather who was short and stout. He was called the little man, not ever to his face. So you've got this godfather in his Gucci shoes, you know, hacking his way through the
they literally
on
dumped
the
him in the middle of the jungle,
and it's swearing eternal vengeance against
Bobby Kennedy, right?
Bobby and his
and
brother John.
Right, exactly. So we've got the mafia basically backed into a corner, and Marcello and Trafficante and Roselli and
I'm glad you mentioned that. The week of JFK's murder, so So Carlos Marcello was on trial on federal charges by Winnebobby's federal prosecutors, whom I talked to the entire month of November until the day of the assassination. And remember, Marcello's not a citizen. So Bobby was prosecuting him. He was getting ready to go after Trafficante's family members. And the week JFK died, I think it was the New York Times was running a big series leaked from Robert Kennedy's in his office that the Kennedy administration was getting ready to go into Las Vegas and run the mafia out of Las Vegas. Mafia no longer had Cuba to go to. So, I mean, talk about backs against the wall.
So here we had the mob with their back against the wall. They're literally their existence as a business institution threatened, and the lives of these people, Marcello and Trafficante, looking at being deported, if not imprisoned for long periods of time, and dozens of others associated with them. The mafia had also, at that point in time, infiltrated parts of the CIA, because the CIA had been given the mission by Richard Nixon leading up to the 1960 election, when Nixon was running against Kennedy. Nixon was vice president and he wanted to become president. And Nixon was getting beat up by JFK over the charge that in 1959 or 58, I forget which year it was, he let Cuba go communist. And, you know, Kennedy was beating Nixon up with this. And so Nixon hired the CIA basically to assassinate Castro in October of 1960 so that he could then, you know, going into the election, say, I defeated the communists in Cuba, elect me president. And he probably would have won had he succeeded. But that plot, that CIA plot to assassinate Castro, got infiltrated by the mob, because, of course, Nixon was all mobbed up at this time. And so you've got that. And then on top of that, you've got the head of the military, the army, and now we're in 62. You've got the head of the...
No, you're in May of 63.
May of 63, thank you very much. You've got the head of the Cuban army, number three guy in the Cuban government, reaching out to the guy that we spent a lot of time with, Harry Williams, who was a close friend of Bobby Kennedy's, and who was one of the Bay of Pigs fighters, reaching out to Harry saying, I'm over it with Castro. If you guys will, you know, help me run this country, I'll take care of Castro for you. I'll work with you to get rid of Castro, and we'll overthrow this government. And that was supposed to happen on December 5th of 1963.
December 1st,
thank you.
10 days after
that. Thank you. So all of these things were coming together. So the mob then orders a hit on, they wanted to, you know, stop Bobby. They figured if they killed Jack, that would do it. So they order a hit on Jack. Jack gets assassinated. They trot out Oswald, who was associated with the CIA plots to overthrow Cuba, had been down to the Cuban embassy down in Mexico trying to get in and all this kind of stuff. And suddenly everybody's worried in our federal government that the word is going to get out that Castro, via Oswald, was the guy who killed Kennedy. And so we've got to cover this thing up. We've got to shut down all the investigations.
And by the way,
and Dave Powers told me that.
Here's how they triggered that secrecy. Here's just one of many examples. As I mentioned, John Martino, who helped with the framing of Oswald, he confessed, but he also talked to the FBI about this big upcoming secret invasion, which of course, you know, so the FBI couldn't touch John Martino, but the guy who sold the bullets that were found in Oswald's rifle the day of the assassination, he is in FBI files talking about how somebody's going to be able to make a lot of money in the stock market because there's this big top secret invasion planned for Cuba in early December.
Which Oswald...
And this is just a gun dealer who sold the ammo.
Right, which Oswald was part of. I mean, or thought he was part of. It's an amazing, amazing story. So what are in these files that will not be released? We'll continue this conversation with Lamar in just a second.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, is with us. We'll be right back. Just because she says she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day doesn't mean she doesn't deserve anything. Not to worry. The Bouqs Company has you covered. That's Bouqs, B-O-U-Q-S, as in bouquets of flowers. They offer farm-fresh, sustainably sourced flowers for next or same day delivery. Order today and get 25% off your entire purchase. Go to Books.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's Books.com/THOM for 25% off with the code Tom. And remember, Valentine's Day isn't just for lovers. Show your best Galentine some love. Let mom know how much you love her. Or make that first move with the one you've been crushing on. Fellas, you think it's cold outside now? Wait until you forget Valentine's Day. The Books Company is here to make your life easier, and they offer more than just roses. You'll find sweet treats, beautifully styled bouquets, plants, gifts, and succulents on their site. Go to Books.com/THOM today for 25% off with the code Tom.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, C-A-P-T-E-R-R-A.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Hey, welcome back. It's 23 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We just kind of recapped it. And, you know, there's supposed to be a big release of files from the federal government this year. We're not really holding our breath. Lamar, where do we start with these files?
The number one file we've already talked about.
Lamar, before you go any farther, sure. Do you think that Donald Trump might have taken any of those files down to Mar-a-Lago?
I don't think so, only because Well, like I say, I mean, I wouldn't even want to speculate about that. I mean, it is the kind of thing that might have interested him.
Right. He's a souvenir collector. He's an obsessive souvenir collector, in fact. Anyhow, bet you were going to start with one of the files. Go for it.
Well, so the top 10, number one is the Carlos Marcello files, tapes, and transcripts of his, in talking about the associates that helped him in JFK's murder and the FBI file that started in 1963 that they've refused to release. So that's number one. And the Miltier files as well. So number two would be all the files about the Tampa attempt that you and I first discovered 4 days before Dallas during JFK, the longest motorcade domestically of his career, and the files about the Chicago attempt in early November. So the House Select Committee on Assassinations got a little information about the Chicago attempt, but I quote their interrogations of the relevant Secret Service agents at the time, and it's just pathetic how they're clearly dissembling and avoiding straight answers and stuff. But they were told, no committee had ever been told anything that JFK was almost killed 4 days before Dallas in Tampa, Florida. And that there was a newspaper article that you and I discovered by going through thousands of pages.
I remember sitting in that damn library going through those microfiches for days with you.
And we had looked at, you know, for the entire month of November, we had looked from the day of the assassination, we're finally a day after the assassination, and lo and behold, I remember you said, Lamar, what about, you know, and you read me something, I'm like, wait, what? Huh? What?
Yep.
And
it was,
you know,
the Tampa
nobody
attempt.
Knew anything about the Tampa attempt.
So the mob had triple redundancy. When the Godfathers ordered the assassination of Kennedy, they ordered it to be done in Chicago, in Tampa, and in Dallas.
And whoever
succeeded.
It was one plan in three different cities.
And in each one of those three cities, there was an Oswald equivalent.
Exactly right. And by the way, Jack Ruby probably would have had the same role in each city because he was born in Chicago and he spent time in Tampa. And so he, you know, but yeah, you had an Oswald, a guy with a dozen parallels to Oswald. In fact, he was a former serviceman who was arrested. He wasn't one of the gunmen at large, but he had arms in his car and a knife, oddly enough. He had a dozen similarities.
This was the Tampa
Oswald.
Attempt.
Oh, no, this is the Chicago attempt.
Oh, the Chicago attempt. Okay, thank you.
Thomas Valley was his name. And then for Tampa, I actually list, there are, I don't list them all in the Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, but if you go all the way back to our first book, Ultimate Sacrifice, I listed two dozen parallels between Oswald and essentially the Tampa Oswald, Gilberto Policarpo Lopez. And so, you know, you would have had a very similar thing happen had the same plan occurred in Chicago or in Tampa as it did in Dallas.
And they were all within 2 weeks of each other.
And all the agencies have worked together to keep any information about the Tampa attempt from ever reaching any government committee, even, as I said earlier, for the Secret Service to destroy the files after I told the review board about them.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be right back. You know, we're all on edge all day, and often we sleep horrible at night. If that sums up your new normal, you'd be wise to explore CBD. Louise and I take CBD every night, and we get a great night's sleep now. You've heard a lot about the impressive potential health benefits of CBD, right? It's a powerful extract from cannabis. There's no high, it's legal, and you don't need a prescription when you shop at CBDistillery.com, the experts I trust. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of CB Distillery customers reported the CBD helps them stay calm. But it gets better. An impressive 90% said they sleep better with CBD. Look, if more calm and better sleep are important to you, now is the perfect time to have CBD delivered straight to your door.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Are you ready to start a meaningful career? Now you can get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training. WISCaregiver.com will connect you with employers all across Wisconsin. You choose the location where you'll earn while you learn to become a CNA and receive a $500 bonus.
Get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training through WISCCaregiver.com. Get your free start in healthcare. Register today at WISCCaregiver.com.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy today with a high of 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 32. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, highs level off around 39. 33 Friday under cloudy skies. 34 Saturday, chance for snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 22.
Means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. There are no good solid numbers on it, but it appears that the majority of people who have Medicare Advantage programs or plans believe that they're on Medicare. This is certainly how Medicare Advantage is sold. Oh, you're missing out on benefits under Medicare. It's Medicare Part C, don't you know? C for commercial, right? But people don't realize that when you sign up for Medicare Advantage, you are leaving behind Medicare, and you may never be able to get back to it, or at least not in the way that you could have if you had signed up for it when you were 65 and you stayed with it. And now stepping into this void come Congressman Mark Pocan and Congressman Ro Khanna with the new Save Medicare Act that would prevent this kind of deceptive advertising and marketing by forbidding insurance companies and HMOs and whatnot from using the word Medicare to sell these for-profit plans or these so-called Medicare Advantage plans. We all need to be supportive of this. There's a whole video about it over at TomHartman.com. Check it out. Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. And Lamar, let's just start going through some of these files and some of the stories peripheral to the assassination that I think most Americans don't know anything about and that really help illuminate and, kind of fill in the holes in our knowledge of what happened back then.
And I would even say all the ones on my list I think are central to the assassination, which is all the more troubling, the fact they're not going to be released on Thursday, and many of them, we have a little tip of the iceberg, but most of these files are still being withheld. Luckily, you and I talked to 24 people that work with John and Robert Kennedy on these operations, so that's how we can tell you what's in these files that are not going to be released on Thursday. So number three on my list is all the naval intelligence files about Oswald, and this is like three categories. One is their tight surveillance of Oswald, who is a very high-profile public defector. Their tight surveillance of him from the time he came back to the United States from Russia. It's pretty obvious to people who study it that he was one of, I think it was six young men went over there around the same time. Four or five of them returned around the
same
time.
Let me just jump in real quickly for people who are not as old as we are, who have no idea what we're talking about here. Lee Harvey Oswald joined the Marine Corps and then defected from Natsugi Air Force Base, if I'm remembering correctly, in Japan, defected to the Soviet Union.
And he left Atsugi when he got out, yes. Then he went to Russia when that was incredibly rare. And, yes. Tourists couldn't go. By the way, Atsugi, Japan, was the base for the secret U-2 spy plane photo. So naval intelligence clearly thought, okay, they'll take this guy. On the other hand, the KGB wasn't that dumb. They put him in the radio factory in Minsk, and
married him off to an intelligence officer's daughter. I mean, but basically, Oswald was a spy for the United States against the Soviet Union.
The intelligence officer was an uncle, I believe. But Oswald was still fulfilling his mission because, like the others, most of the others, he came back with a Russian wife / girlfriend, and the whole point of this operation was so they could see how the KGB would then try to recruit or contact her or him once they were back in the United States. So Oswald was under tight naval intelligence surveillance the whole time he was here. That's why Oswald, the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, a year before JFK's murder, we all thought we were going to get blown up, right? And JFK's on TV, and he's got these big maps showing the U-2 spy plane photos, and they're all labeled where, here's the missiles, and this is Cuba. Well, those maps were prepared at Jaggers-Chile Stovall, a map firm in Dallas, Texas, that had a top-secret clearance for part of its operations. It wasn't a huge place. It was a pretty small place. Guess who got a job at this place preparing those U-2 spy plane maps for JFK and the U.N. ambassador to use at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis? The very public former defector, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Exactly.
So that was clearly a tip to make him more attractive to KGB. KGB didn't bite. So So Oswald was under tight surveillance right up to the day of the assassination. Then Naval Intelligence began their own private secret investigation of Oswald, and their report, which two of my sources, one source actually worked on it, the other one actually saw the report, and they concluded Oswald was incapable of doing the actual shooting and incapable of masterminding the assassination. Well, that's about as close to an exoneration is
well, this is another thing that we haven't even talked about, which is that, you know, I sat in Dave Powers' office. Dave Powers was, Jack Kennedy's right-hand man, who was in the car right behind Kennedy when he was shot. And I sat in his office in the Kennedy Library and said, you know, what did you see? And he said, I saw the muzzle flash from that hill in front of us, with the so-called grassy knoll. And then Kenny McDougal, as I recall, reached over and grabbed him and shoved him down to the floor and said, we're in a crossfire.
Kenneth O'Donnell Kenneth O'Donnell also later, they both admitted that. Speaker of the House in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan, one of the most famous speakers of the House, was Tip O'Neill from Massachusetts. Powers and O'Donnell both told Tip O'Neill exactly what they saw about the shots coming from the grassy knoll.
That's right, and Powers told this to me, too, in person. I mean,
And by the way, you were sitting, he was the head of the JFK Presidential Library, and I think you were in office. Were you sitting in one of JFK's famous
chairs? I was sitting in his rocking chair from the Oval Office. And we were sitting there in his office, overlooking the harbor there in Boston.
But hey, people don't have to believe you. They don't have to believe me. Look at Tip O'Neill's autobiography. He says it right in there. So Naval Intelligence knew that kind of stuff, okay? Yeah. And so, and they knew stuff about the autopsy nobody else knew. So basically, their report essentially exonerated Oswald, and so we need to have all their investigative files and that report. The House Select Committee found out about it, but the Naval Intelligence stonewalled them. I told the JFK Assassination Records Review Board about the investigation and that report, and so they went after it really hard. One of their investigators did, and Navy Intelligence assigned an officer to work with the review board, and unlike that CIA liaison years earlier who was basically covering up, this officer, and I'm going to be vague intentionally here, worked really hard to try to look for the report and the investigative files, and in return for obeying her oath as a Navy officer, this person was basically drummed out of the service. Mm. And I feel bad because I basically triggered that. So that's the extent the Navy will go to keep this study. And I'm sure after making an example of that officer, other people who want a career in the Navy. So that all needs to come out. As far as I'm concerned, that obstruction needs to come out, all those files as well. So that's number three on my list. Number four on my list is all the CIA files from the CIA agents and officers who basically admitted their involvement. People like David Morales, the head of operations down at that Miami CIA station, David Ferry, Bernard Barker,
who, by the way, was a Watergate burglar later on.
Oh, right.
Let's not forget.
Gotten into that.
he was always in tight with the mob and Nixon's friends in the mob.
Right. And also the CIA files for a guy named David Atlee Phillips, who, while he may not have been an active participant in the assassination, he might have been, but he did admit late in life to a relative that he had been in Dallas the day of the assassination. Now, David Atlee Phillips was from Fort Worth, so we have to be careful not to read too much into that. But, yeah, let's get all of his files. And, again, let's get the files for the summer and fall of 1963 on all those guilty CIA guys.
A quick question. When I'm telling people these stories, this is the point at which somebody will inevitably say, well, if Oswald didn't shoot Kennedy, who did?
Well, that's why we need all those Marcello files, because as Carlos Marcello told his trusted FBI informant cellmate, Marcello imported two hitmen from Italy. And remember, the first attempt was going to be from shooting at a building with a high-powered rifle at JFK and a motorcade. It was going to be in Chicago. So they came in through Canada into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And
just drove
in. There was apparently an FBI person that worked with Jack told Jack that they had in fact looked into that and were able to confirm. I forget if they confirmed the two people entered the United States or if they were able to confirm those two people left the United States. By the way, the night before the assassination, they stayed at a mob restaurant. It was a mob restaurant. It's not mob anymore. In fact, I highly recommend it if you're in Dallas. Remember when we ate at Campisi's Egyptian restaurant with the Senate investigator, Gayton Fonzie, and the archivist from Miami-Dade County, Gordon Winslow? That's where they stayed, these two Italian hitmen, the night before the assassination. And so they, you know, they were, you know, they wouldn't care if they had to hit Jackie. She wasn't anything to them. The other hit person, you went to his apartment when I asked you. Remember when you were in Paris once and I had you go to this real nice neighborhood?
Yep.
Okay. That was Michael Victor Mertz of the famous French Connection that was actually started by Trafficante's father. Michael Victor Mertz was a notorious French criminal and assassin, but because he had once saved French President Charles de Gaulle's life, he also had protection. Michael Victor Mertz, this notorious French assassin, was deported from Dallas the day after JFK's murder. So when you look at shooters, I mean, Michael Victor Mertz collaborated with the Nazis at the start of World War II. By the end, he saw which way the wind was blowing, so he picked up a machine gun and machine gun a bistro full of Nazis.
Right.
You know, so people like Mertz and the two Italian hitmen who I'm sure were killed right after. Mertz was lavishly rewarded, which is why he was living in one of the most fashionable streets of Paris.
It's why I tried to track him down, and they wouldn't let me in.
He wasn't home because he had a massive estate with a private airfield, just like Carlos Marcello. Yeah. Only Mertz's was there. So we need all of the Michael Victor Mertz files.
Yeah.
You know, that's on my list as well. That's number six on my list.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, we're going.
It's the Michael Victor Mertz.
We're going through what we know and what we don't know, and what we're pretty sure the government is still withholding from us. With Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be right back. It's 46 minutes past.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
When life is in chaos, your home is your safe haven. It's your most important asset. But do you own it? Don't be so sure. Imagine getting evicted for non-payment of a loan you never took out. It happened to Deborah, and it's happening everywhere. It's called home title theft, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. It's why I urge you to get Home Title Lock. Your home's legal title is kept online, and thieves know it. They'll forge your signature on your home's title, and that's it. They legally own your home. Then they can take out loans on your home. Your bank doesn't cover you, and neither does your insurance. The only way I know of to avoid this nightmare and possible eviction is with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And use code SAVE for 30 free days of protection to help you through this crisis. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartmann.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartmann's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work, offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. A rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartmann's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere.
Support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a nonprofit station, please contribute to them. Help keep them on the air. If you're listening to us on a for-profit station that carries commercials, please call the sponsors and let them know that you're listening. This is really important stuff to keep Progressive Radio on the air all across the United States. And thank you again for listening. We're talking with the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, Lamar Waldron. He and I wrote two books on this topic as well, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, which also incorporates the assassinations of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. Lamar, we are going through the list of files that we would like to see revealed by the federal government. We have about 5 minutes left. Where are we on our list?
Well, I think we're ready to go. Well, there is the Cuba contingency plans. Bobby Kennedy had a secret subcommittee of the National Security Council starting in September 1963. They were worried what would happen if Castro found out about the coup plan and, say, retaliated by, assassinating an American official. So the secret subcommittee of the National Security Council, which included names some people might be familiar with, like Joseph Califano and Alexander Haig, representatives from State Department, Justice, and the CIA, they were making plans. Well, what would we do if, say, the U.S. ambassador to Panama were assassinated, were shot on the street in broad daylight? You know, did Castro do that? How would we, keep that from maybe forcing us to invade Cuba in retaliation? Well, you would need to have the government control, the federal government control the evidence, the investigation, and most importantly, control the autopsy.
Right. So, this is, again, to keep out of fear that if the American public knew that Castro had reached into the United States and assassinated a U.S. government official, the demand for war against Cuba would be so great it could lead us to World War III with the Soviet Union.
Overwhelming. Especially even if it happened outside the United States.
Right.
So the example that John Nolan gave me was Panama, where luckily, right. So if that had happened, Panamanian hospital would have been at that base. So, these plans we make, we have some of those files. There are hundreds of pages of files that the CIA, State Department, Justice and other organizations have. They haven't released them. And so we need those. I mean, that's clearly relevant because, as John Nolan told me in his role as Bobby Kennedy's intermediary at the autopsy, Bobby being at Bethesda Naval Hospital with Jackie, he was up on the family floor, which is several floors above where the autopsy was happening. So Bobby would be on the phone with John Nolan, there's a phone just outside an open door for the autopsy, and Bobby would relay his instructions to John Nolan. John Nolan would go in and relay those instructions to Admiral Berkeley, JFK's personal physician, and then Admiral Berkeley would relay the instructions initially directly to the autopsy doctors, but eventually he would do it to the Bethesda commander who would do it. So, you know, when I asked Nolan about the things at the autopsy and the reports of the bullet rolling out of JFK's body and the secret national security short national security autopsy that occurred before the official autopsy, which is when JFK's tiny throat wound and tracheotomy incision was so hugely enlarged, Nolan simply said, look, all the things we've been talking about, the coup plan, the Cuba contingency plans to protect the coup plan or keep us from being, you know, trundled off into a needless war against Cuba, that's why the autopsy was the way the autopsy was. So we need all the files about the contingency plans and the additional files about the autopsy, like about the bullet that rolled out of JFK's back during the national security autopsy.
Right.
And so
we got about a minute and a half here, Lamar.
We got to get all the files about the JFK Almeida coup plan, especially the roles of people like Barker and E. Howard Hunt in those plans.
These are the efforts to overthrow Castro.
I'm sorry, right?
The efforts to overthrow Castro, right.
Right. And so we got to get all those CIA files about George Joannides, the guy who helped, you know, mislead the House Select Committee and was apparently given a medal for it. And people need to contact their members of Congress, their senators. They need to contact the White House and say, look, you know, White House, Joe Biden, you want to release these files, but they're not even telling you the best stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Unless we see Tampa attempt stuff as the headlines in the papers on Thursday and Friday, unless we see the stuff about the Naval Intelligence Investigation of Oswald, you know, unless we see those Marcello confession tapes and transcripts, you know, the best stuff just can't possibly be released on Thursday. You know, myself, you know, I'm happy to tell the Biden White House, here's what they're keeping from you, and here's where it probably is. I know half a dozen other JFK researchers, experts, and authorities who would be happy to do the same thing. In other words, there are people that know what's out there and where it probably is. I mean, I've even been able to tell both the Library of Congress and the National Archives on three different occasions where they had files that they didn't think they had. And they told me, no, we don't have those files. I said, yeah, you do. Look here. And they were like, yeah, you were right. We do have those files.
So Lamar Waldron.
The files are out there. We just need to get them.
There you go. Lamar Waldron. He's the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, available wherever fine books are found. Lamar, thanks so much for dropping by with us.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Always great talk.
Always a pleasure.
My old buddy. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks so much for being with us today. A fascinating day. We'll continue our conversations about America and democracy and politics and everything else tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent a fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad
Council. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.